a river of books has come out of the civil rights movement. Histories, general and narrow, memoirs by activists, famous nationally or only locally. We have almost no reports from the other side of these 60s and 70s battlefields. What were the violent racists, brutal policemen and troopers, the Klansmen thinking? What beliefs, emotions, one might generously say misguided principles, caused them to act in vicious, cruel, and finally futile and stupid ways? There is now a trickle of memoirs from those individuals, recovering racists, the most articulate of whom attempt to explain why they acted as they did. Tim Parrish, professor of English at Southern Connecticut State University, holds the MFA in fiction writing from the University of Alabama. His collection of stories, Red Stick Men, is set in his childhood in blue-collar Baton Rouge in the 1970s. This book, Fear and What Follows, is set in the same time and place and makes expansive use of fictional technique. Parrish generates dramatic scenes and dialogue that could not possibly be remembered verbatim from when he was a teen. He covers this properly in the foreword, not wishing to be attacked for exaggeration, as was James Fry in A Million Little Pieces. The memoir reads like a novel and has power, a sad, unsettling power. It is painful to read and must have been an agony to write, but Parrish means to find the truth about what formed him. Parrish's father is a vocal racist, issuing a stream of hate against blacks. Nevertheless, he's horrified at what Tim gets into. Although Tim thought Dad would be pleased, Mr. Parrish, like many a parent, wants his son to be better than he is. Readers should know, the language used by Mr. Parrish and Tim and his friends is authentic, obscene, and relentless. A believer at the time, Parrish complains of the hypocrisy of extolling the power of love and then voting to ban blacks from entering the church. But this is not the root of his problem. This memoir is about fear, the sources and effects of being afraid, and the catalyst for Parrish's fear is race. As he says, race trumped everything. 50 years later, we forget it was mostly the lower middle class whose schools were integrated and who had to cope with the changes, not the suburban well-to-do. Parrish writes of being an honor student and a promising athlete. His school, previously a haven, is in turmoil, and there is indeed some black-on-white violence. Parrish feels threatened. At home, Parrish's family is afraid they will lose their home to integration. If one house is bought by blacks, it is viewed as an invasion, Armageddon, and the whites flee. Swept away by this sense of war, with him and his buddies, white soldiers on the front lines, Parrish, like most boys, is afraid he is not courageous enough, not a real man, whatever that might mean. He seeks approval from older boys who are, by any standards, bent, and overcome by insecurity and toxic peer pressure, gets into needless fights, flirts with maiming or killing blacks, even murderous arson, and comes close to being arrested and ruining his life's prospects forever. Now a writer, Parrish uses the process of memoir, quote, to understand the despicable things I thought and did, end quote.